Good morning. We are going to begin the California Coastal Commission for Friday, January 9th. And we begin with our roll call. And I will ask Vanessa to confirm that we have a quorum by calling the roll.
Commissioner Bochco.
Here.
Commissioner Cox.
Here.
Commissioner Gibson.
Here.
Commissioner Howell.
Good morning.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner McClure. Commissioner Mitchell. Commissioner Pastor. Commissioner Vargas.
Here.
Commissioner Zimmer.
Here.
Chair Kinsey.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Very good. Now we'll move into agenda changes. Jack Ainsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First up for the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, please fill out a speaker slip and give it to staff. And now is the time to turn off any cell phones or other wireless devices. So next I'll go over the changes for today's agenda. Items 8 and 9, the Newport Banning Ranch cease and desist and restoration orders are postponed. Item 13B, the Girard application is postponed. And item 13C, the Verizon Wireless application moved to consent. And that concludes our changes for today's agenda.
Thank you. Okay, so now we go to general public comment. As our agenda identifies, and many of you know, we have a field trip coming up this morning. Typically, we do 30 minutes of public comment. I think that given the items that have been moved to consent or postponed, I'm going to go for a little bit more. But I still have a telephone book worth of public comment cards here. And so I thought we'd all speak for 30 seconds. Just kidding. Just trying to get your attention. Okay. So we are going to go with 2 minutes, and that's what we'll do to try and get as many folks able to speak as possible. And we will begin with Shayla Myers, followed by Carl Lambert, and then Kathy Knight. And good morning. And if you just state your name, each of you, as you come, and also as a suggestion that our IT specialist has said, please don't get too close to the microphone because it does cause some technical challenges. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kinsey and the commissioners. My name is Shayla Myers, and I'm an attorney with the Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles. I'm here on behalf of our client, the Southern California Homeless Bill of Rights Coalition, members of which spoke on Wednesday and Thursday regarding the City of Los Angeles' beach curfew and who were directly impacted by the city's enforcement of the curfew against homeless people here in Venice. I just want to follow up on the comments yesterday, both from coalition members and commissioners regarding the existing beach curfew. The current beach curfew in Los Angeles is extremely expansive. It prohibits all access to the coastline within the City of Los Angeles from midnight to 5 a.m., with only minor exceptions. The coastline within the City of Los Angeles is over 11 miles long. The curfew treats almost every mile and almost every one of the nearly 530 acres of coastal recreation areas identically. And, of course, the city has never applied for a CDP for the curfew. For over 4 years, the Coastal Commission staff have attempted to engage the city on its illegal breach curfew, but to no avail. On October 31st, 6 weeks after Commission staff finally met with the city attorney's office, the city attorney put forth a draft ordinance which is substantially identical to the existing curfew, but puts forth 5 reasons why the city does not need to seek a coastal development permit. We strongly disagree with the city's position that the reasons are legally valid. There are many of the same reasons given by the city to the commission in 2010 and in 2011 when staff first attempted to engage the city council regarding its curfew. There are also many of the same reasons explicitly rejected by the courts in the Coastal Commission's victories in the Citizens for a Better Eureka and the City of Dana Point. This draft ordinance demonstrates the city's continued lack of respect and recognition for the Coastal Commission's jurisdiction for this over its curfew and its refusal to accept the legal precedents cited by Ms. Patterson at yesterday's meeting. We would encourage the Coastal Commission and Executive Director Lester to not wait for a new ordinance to be passed to take action. There is an existing beach curfew that is currently being forced on Los Angeles' beaches. It is being used to target and harass members of our community, and it acts as a deterrent for people accessing the coast. So we ask that you please take action now against the existing curfew. Thank you.
Thank Carl, then Kathy, then Jeanette Vosburgh.
Commissioner Kinsley and commissioners, my name is Carl Lambert, and on behalf of the Venice Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to welcome you today to Venice. It's really great that you want to come down and really see what Venice is about and explore some of the areas on a firsthand basis. I own a hotel on the boardwalk and several other properties that I've rehabbed over the years. I've been down on the Venice boardwalk since the 90s. I've lived on the boardwalk. My office is on the boardwalk. Unfortunately, I've seen murders. We've captured them on tape. I've witnessed beatings. I've seen people pull knives. I had somebody pull a knife on me. And I want to really encourage public safety on the Venice boardwalk. I think it is very important. Since the enforcement of the curfew on the beach and in the park, we have seen an increase in public safety. We've had our issues, and we still have our issues, but it is important to maintain. As Councilman Mike Bonin says, Venice is the face of L.A. And really, when you think about it, we get about 16 million visitors a year, and that is more on the boardwalk than any other place in California. It is a visitor-serving location. Venice is about change. It always has been. It's always been in the forefront of visitors' minds, and it's been a cultural place. The Venice Chamber has sponsored the Venice Art Crawl, which people come out, and in one of our recent events, we had about 1,500 participants, and it was safe. It was just a great time had by all. Now, today, you'll probably hear from a lot of the no-growthers, no, no, no. And really, the only way to do that is to go back in time. As the chairman of the Venice LUPEC once said, I can cure development with one word. And the lady said, how is that? It's simple. Crime. Bring back the crime. And one of the projects that I was working on, they found a dead body bricked up, and it was from one of the gangs that were from the 70s or 80s, judging by the age of the bones. And so Venice was forgotten for so many decades. I've done a lot of rehab in Santa Monica. I built artist lofts with low-income components. And Santa Monica has changed and has cleaned up the crime. Venice is cleaning up the crime. So we really need to protect tourism. We need a better base down there. And as Mike Bonin says, the good will push out the bad, and we need a nightlife on the beach. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
All right. Kathy, then Jeanette, and I'm going to ask folks to be lining up, then followed by John Davis. Thank you.
Yes. My name is Kathy Knight. I'm conservation chair of the Sierra Club Airport Marina Group here in this area. And I'm asking you, please, regarding the Oxford Bird Sanctuary, to please help us save the last tall eucalyptus trees along Admiralty Way. And I want to, first of all, thank you for supporting saving the last couple of trees for the monarch butterflies for the new overwintering site that was discovered there. But also we have an osprey that's been trying to live at this lagoon and has been living at this lagoon. And they're very rare in this area. I don't even think there's any known nesting birds here. They're trying to reintroduce them to the Channel Islands. If you could please help us, the County of Los Angeles is cutting down 650 trees at this bird sanctuary, almost every single tree, to restore it. And we need to leave a couple of trees left for these birds to use. This osprey has been using this place regularly. It flies way up. They're very tall trees. It can fly way up and get away from the noise. And the answer we've been given is like, oh, it's okay. They'll find somewhere else. They can go fly somewhere else. They'll find a place. Well, this is a very unusual place. It has a lot of boats with tall masts. And the boaters complain when the birds fly over there, sit up there, and drop. their droppings on their boats. And there was one shot recently in the last year or two, found dead, shot after a lot of complaints from the boaters. So it's really important to save one little section, three trees from nature, for this osprey to get up and be up there. And they like to take their food away. They go and catch the fish, then they bring it back, and they sit there, and they eat a little bit, and they rest, and then they eat a little bit, and they rest. So it's the way that they live. So we also would like to have you come over and see it with us and save the osprey and save the boaters.
Thank you. Jeanette, followed by John Davis, then Lisa Eichach.
I would like to cede my time to Patricia McPherson, and then you have James Garrett. He would like to cede his time, and also Greg McPherson.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
How much time would you like this morning? You have those folks who ceded their time to you. 6 minutes is going to work for you?
It should.
Thank
so
you.
So let's start with the video, please, Billy. Yes, I have two other people that have also ceded my time, in addition to the ones that you just had to cover.
But 6 minutes would work with...
I'm taking out your list by big time here. So if we could please start the video at the top. Where's the sound? Hang on. And at the very top. I think we have a lot of people with tree issues here today. This was just a couple days ago. That's a glitch. This is the tree Kathy was discussing that...
Yeah.
This is the eucalyptus stand that the osprey is now using. During this, our attorney called the county, and the county's attorney made a quick call saying, "What's going on, team?" And they stopped. But we lost several that day.
Thank you.
These are the only large trees of this size that are in the marina area now. And yes, they just took that one out. Here's the osprey.
This is still standing next to the eucalyptus tree that you just saw being destroyed on January 7th. The photo was taken on December 29th. The osprey flew up to this perch after it was disturbed by county workers coming out of a portable toilet near a non-native Aleppo pine tree the osprey uses that hangs low over the Oxford Lagoon's waters. And here is the osprey using the non-native Aleppo pine snag as a perch on another day last December. The next scene was filmed on December 30th.
You can see he has a fish. He uses his sight on a regular basis. Or she. This actually may be a mate to the one that was shot and killed, and that Fish and Game had an investigation a year ago with a reward for the killing.
Here we are on the day that they're cutting down all the eucalyptus, and they are saying that they are also going to cut down the tree that this bird is now perching in. And I think has something again that he's eating.
I couldn't quite see.
It's an osprey.
And you can see how many have been removed because you now have pictures of what is left there that were just taken yesterday, the trees remaining.
You can hear the chainsaws in the background as they have been cutting down all of the eucalyptus trees on the east end.
Hard to see, but listen. That tree that was just felled is a tree full of monarchs, and it was a cold and rainy day. They were not allowed to work on that day, but they did.
Here's a still of the
It is now under investigation by the Fish and Wildlife Department.
The tree you just saw crashing down on the video. That tree had monarch butterflies in it that were not yet ready to fly, because it was a very cold and rainy day. We had a storm front moving in. The county's permit agreement with the Department of Fish and Wildlife disallows work to be done when there is a 50% or greater chance of rain. The broadcast news had already forecasted rain, and it did start raining that morning. The final video shows another perching spot for Oxford Lagoon's osprey. If the county removes its last giant eucalyptus, the only place that will be left for the osprey to reach a high perch out of harm's way at Oxford Lagoon will be power poles, which provide no cover from crows and other competitors of food. Not to mention, they are power poles.
Here's the osprey on the power pole. Now, as Kathy said, if we are shooing them away, it makes no sense. And literally, the county has no legitimate reason to not keep these trees. The trees that are standing are near an area that actually underwent road work this past year. It took months. So they are directly next to an area that will remain intact. It's also on an area, sorry, I've been hanging out there every day, that they are intending to go in and leave the non-native trees there and actually work around the drip line that is there. So like that, and this is what is left there now, today.
Thank you. We
are asking you to please ask, as Fish and Wildlife is now asking the county to keep these trees in place and alive, because the Fish and Game understands now, as they did at Bolsa Chica, they now ask for the eucalyptus trees to remain because they acknowledge the fact that they are such special habitat support for the wildlife that uses them. And in this particular instance, we have the monarch wintering butterflies. That is a new discovery.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
John Davis.
And the osprey.
Followed by Lisa Acock.
Did you say John Davis?
I did. Absolutely.
Commissioners, thank you so much for showing up in Los Angeles. We'd like you to visit Marina Del Rey again, because there's a lot going down there, and you shouldn't avoid Marina Del Rey. You should visit it directly. There are a lot of stakeholders there. I'm speaking in regard to a revised revocation request for the Oxford Lagoon CDP 513-1292. I submitted the initial request on December 9th. However, due to the negligence of the district manager, Teresa Henry, and the executive director, it did not appear on the agenda of the next Coastal Commission meeting, which is this meeting. Teresa Henry said it's because they had to send a notice out to the applicant and prepare a staff report. Well, that's boilerplate. It doesn't excuse the Coastal Commission from disregarding its responsibility for the director to present the issue on its merits to the commission at the next meeting, which he infrequently does. It's a very sad situation. In regard to the request, it's based upon one thing. The Coastal Zone Management Act of 1972 is implemented by the California Coastal Commission. In order to implement it, the commission had to agree with the California Coastal Zone Management Program, which is the final EIR for the state of California. In that document, it says Marina Del Rey is federally owned. That's indisputable. This commission cannot dispute it. It also says Marina Del Rey is excluded from the coastal zone, which means you may only exercise your powers of environmental review and not your powers of planning as an LCP on the land side, because it has already been planned by the U.S. government, House Document 389 under U.S. Public Law 780, the Rivers and Harbors Act of 1954. Therefore, I ask this commission to revoke it because the county failed to inform the commission of that information. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before Lisa begins, just excuse me, Vice Chair Zimmer had a question for the staff. Thank you, Lisa, for your patience.
Thank you. We've just been handed this revocation request that says it was filed on December 9th, but it seems like it's a strictly legal question that they're presenting. And so can you respond to that?
The revocation request was presented. We have not had the time to effectively evaluate it and present it to the commission. Our regulations are directory on this matter, not mandatory, and we will bring it back at the earliest opportunity that we have to address it in a comprehensive manner, which should be very soon.
Having issued this permit, do we have any authority to suspend it or do the equivalent of a stop work order to prevent any further environmental damage while you're considering it?
Not without. I don't know what actions enforcement may be taking. Enforcement may be investigating and making some determination, but revocation is the process by which the commission can stop action under a permit.
Yes, and if I can add to that, we don't believe there are any grounds at this point to suspend the permit that would warrant suspension of the permit at this point. We believe that the county is in compliance with their permit conditions on this project.
So if they chose to, they could complete the cutting of the trees without us taking any action?
That's correct. Part of that, this is a restoration program, which is important to keep in mind. And most of these trees were invasive, myoporum and eucalyptus. The sensitive ones that we talked about yesterday with regard to the monarch butterflies, we've asked the county to retain those, which they are retaining one. I understand the county is here today to give a little update on this. With regard to the osprey tree, this is an area that was to be those trees were removed and replaced with larger native trees that will grow. Some are specimen-sized trees, but it'll take some time to get back to the heights of the. And there are other trees.
You've answered my question in terms of whether there's anything we could do. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Lisa, thank you for your patience.
Good morning. I was very emotional yesterday. I didn't expect to be called. So I just want to say hello to everybody because it's important to acknowledge the back. We're tired. We try to follow the rules. You follow the rules, but other people don't have to follow the rules, okay? Do you know in the 90s, the Oakwood area of Venice, I knew families who were in second, third generation houses. And they were cited for ridiculous things like, you know, they needed work on their house when Venice was being gentrified in the beginning. Then high fences started going up. One or two on the block, no big deal. One big house, no big deal. It was just one. Now the fences, we have 3.5-foot fence. It's supposed to be in the front. People have 6-8 feet concrete blocks with no setback, no trees. You'll see on your tour. Not everybody has to follow the rules. It's weird. It's not okay. And so you guys are the last people to go to. Because building enforcement doesn't do anything. The city doesn't do anything. Venice isn't its own city. You can build an artist loft, but no artist can afford it. You can't live in your car. It's illegal. But the artists kind of make Venice real and unique, but we're not welcome. It's just weird. Help us, please, please help us. You have so much power. This, you in front of us, could change the future of Venice. You could change it. We need your help so bad. We're desperate. We really are desperate. And if everybody could come, they would come. You know, not everybody comes because it's not immediately in front of them, like the house next to them. But you'll see, it's not okay. Everybody should have to follow the rule. Not just poor people. Not just poor people.
Thank you. Elise Hicks, Jackson
Garland. I just wanted to say thank you. I really do appreciate the work you do, and I'm sorry if it was really intense yesterday, but I was really upset to see all those trees cut down when they're planting new ones that are kind of similar.
Thank you. Elise, then Jackson Garland, and then Marcia Hanscom. Marcia's right here.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you so much, commissioners, for being here. We
could you take this thing off?
I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. My name is Elise Hicks. I, too, am very concerned about the changes and proposed changes for Marina Del Rey, and I am ceding the rest of my time to Jackson, who is right here. His mother created a beautiful video.
Hi, my name is Jackson Garland. I am 13 years old, and I go to Newark School. I live in Marina Del Rey and have lived on the canal my whole life. There is a lot of wildlife in the area, mostly wild birds, including a great blue heron, great white egrets, black-crowned night herons, snowy egrets, ducks, pelicans, sandpipers, and hummingbirds. The trees in Marina Del Rey are where the great blue herons live and breed. Each nest is around 500 pounds, and they need these old trees to support their young. The great blue heron disappeared from the area over 100 years because they were hunted. They have come back in recent years to thrive in Marina Del Rey. Removing these trees and their habitat will hurt these animals. We will not be able to sustain important species if we are not wise and responsible. Trees provide oxygen and cool our planet. They are also tremendously beautiful. With the current climate crisis, there is a need to protect our forests and trees. We made this short video about the trees in Marina Del Rey, which shows their beauty and grace. Many of these trees are 50 years old. Let's play the video.
Please add my 2 minutes
off
on
my voice,
so the full video.
Go ahead. Thank you. Okay. Good. thing off my voice. I've got speaker. Okay, then, good. Can you take this thing off my voice? I've got like the speaker I can hear.
There we go.
Thank you. Okay, leave it on then. Good.
Today because it was important to me to volunteer my time and passion to save our plants and animals. I hope you give this your full consideration and join us to do what is right for these innocent and beautiful creatures, our climate, and our future. Thank you.
Speaking of beautiful and
innocent.
I just
want to say, finally, we have some violations at this site that I would really like to ask your staff to work with us on. Instead, the developers are now saying they're going to get after-the-fact permits, and I don't believe that your after-the-fact permit procedure is appropriate for cutting down great blue heron nests in trees with the great blue herons. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for your interest, Jackson. I'm going to invite up James Kearns, Michael Tripp, and Josh Sivenson.
Michael, that's probably who it is. Michael's the guy that works with the City of LA.
Welcome.
Good morning. I'd like to cede my time to James Kearns, Michael
okay.
Tripp.
Hi, Michael.
And Josh Sivenson.
Good morning, Chair Kinsey, members of the Commission. I'm Jim Kearns, representing Los Angeles County Public Works. I'm the assistant deputy director there. My team is managing the Oxford Basin Enhancement Project and the current activities I just wanted to give you an update on. The project, as you know, is primarily a flood control project, and the benefits of it will be the removal of accumulated sediments, replacing the existing tide gates, modifications to catch basins, and all of this will increase the ability of the basin to provide flood control for the surrounding community. The habitat and water benefits are removal of non-native plants. Approximately 650 trees will be removed. They'll be replaced with over 45,000 native plants. 700 native trees will remove contaminated soils and construct a circulation boom, a berm for the tide gate operation and the circulation water there in the basin. Finally, we'll have recreational and passive public access, educational signs, paths around the basin itself, and I'm just pleased to let you know that the project is moving ahead as planned and approved by your commission, by the Army Corps of Engineers, and the California Fish and Wildlife Department. With that, on November 18th, our biological monitor... Our biological monitor on November 18th conducted a field nesting survey. And again, a field nesting survey was conducted on January 4th. Conclusion of both nesting surveys was there were no active nests within 500 feet of the project area. Both of those files and reports are posted on our website for review and have been provided to your staff members. We commenced work December 11th, and we've thus far completed 15 work days. Today is our 16th. We've had zero safety incidences, which we're pleased with. And we've removed 95% of the trees thus far, and we continue working on them. And we anticipate that that will be completed by the end of the month. Since initiating the tree removals, we've had several comments from stakeholders, which we've been very much aware of and took seriously. To date, I'm pleased to report no wildlife has been harmed as part of this work. We've confirmed with our on-site biological monitor and her team that no threatened or endangered species listed by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife as species of concern have been observed on site during the construction activities. We have, however, observed other species included in the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's special animals list, and those are being provided to the state as voluntary reports. We're also aware of the presence of the migrating monarch butterflies at the site, and several of, and that's been well documented back to 2010 in our entomological studies. At the biologist's recommendations, we've suspended work around the eucalyptus trees due to the monarch butterfly activity until they migrate and move on. Then we will commence with the removal of those trees. The project, when complete, will offer substantially improved habitat for native species, including the monarch butterflies. For example...
Excuse me, folks. I'm going to ask you all to be respectful. Each of you is going to have your opportunity to speak. We're going to listen to everybody here. Thank you.
Thank you. For example, our planting plan includes over 200 milkweed plants. These are hosts to monarch butterflies and currently not present in the basin. We have checked further this week and had conversations with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which on December 29th, as you may know, had announced that they're currently conducting a status review of the monarch butterfly, and they confirmed to us this week that no formal protections of the monarch are in place currently. And Condition 18 of our Army Corps of Engineers 404 permit does not apply to the monarch butterfly. The Army Corps also confirmed this week that the project is not within any designated critical habitat for any Endangered Species Act species, and that there is no concern with the monarchs as they are not listed as an ESA species. Several monarchs were observed, and we have had our biological monitor on site every day since the beginning of the month. And those daily reports have been forwarded to us. And as of yesterday, there were several monarchs in the area, primarily along the bike path. But each and every day since the beginning of the month, the numbers have been decreasing. The two eucalyptus trees at the east end, one has been found to be diseased, fungus. We're going to confirm that. While both of them are in the path of the future fence and walkway that will go in, modifications could potentially be made to move that around and save one of the trees, but we need to confirm the actual diseased status of the remainder. We'll continue to work, and come April 15th, our other activities will continue. We'll be finished the project within a year.
Thank you. Commissioner Bochco had a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I think we all appreciate the position you're in, and you're trying to do a restoration, which is a good thing. But I would just ask, and I think you're well within your rights to do what you're doing, but I would just ask that if you do observe, let's say the osprey, which we've now seen quite a few pictures and films of, that he's there, that if there is a way to keep that tree that doesn't disturb the overall project, that we do so. You know, it's kind of just because we can doesn't mean we should. So I thought maybe, because now, you know, 95% of the trees are gone, perhaps these trees, even though they're not native, they're still very important trees to the animal life who didn't really know where they came from. So if there is a way to save these trees, let's do it, you know. And it's just because we should, not just because we can.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
And I might mention that yesterday, which I failed to say, in addition to the monarch butterflies, there was no osprey on site. He's an infrequent visitor.
Hey, excuse me, sir. Please, sir. No, I'm not going to accept that. Look, we have a meeting. We got lots of people that want to speak.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to have a respectful meeting, and I'm going to give Commissioner Pestor an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment.
Yeah, just one quick question with you, and if staff needs to follow up on that, too, just to confirm that the trees that have been cut down are consistent with the permit that's been approved by the Coastal Commission.
Yes.
Yes, we would confirm that as well.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on. Ara Bebacava, Alberto Bebacava, and then Kate Wolfgang Savage.
Welcome. My name is Ara Bevacqua. I'm an artist who's lived in Venice my entire life. I've seen many of the negative changes and few of the positive ones. It's my belief that you have an opportunity to right many of the wrongs that have been done to the district. You have a way today, perhaps one of the only ways, to maintain Venice as a neighborhood of the arts that has not only brought so many people of so many backgrounds together, but has also brought their culture to the world. As an aside, I noticed that you're missing a main area of artist studios in your tour. ask that you take some personal time and walk down Sunset Avenue from Hampton to 4th and Vernon. Thank you.
Thank you. Alberto Bevacqua, and then Kate, followed by Mark Rybeck.
I'm Alberto Bevacqua. I am 18-year resident of Venice and an artist in Venice. I just wanted to inform you that my studio at 334 Sunset, we're being evicted at the end of February. It's an M1 zoned property, and it's being turned into, developed into condos. Another endangered species, I suppose. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Kate, followed by Mark, followed by George Abramson.
Good morning. My name is Kate Wolfgang Savage. I'm an artist. I'm actually a technically trained classical painter, kind of from the old school, about 10 years into my training, and I ended up in Venice. And Venice is one of the only places that I've discovered that really still has an energy of creativity, and that's why I decided to stay here and to be an artist in this area. I've come to realize that this is a tradition that's been going on for quite a long time. I hear a lot about the crime and how terrible it was and that we were forgotten. And I've been looking into that, and I don't actually think that that's true. Artists have been thriving here for quite a long time. James Turrell is world-renowned, and he's been doing wonderful things for a long time. He made this his home for a while, and so did a lot of other people. And the reason the artists do that is we need somewhere where we can have the freedom to focus on the work that we do and kind of live and let live. And so if you allow people who want to make a profit off of everything by making it accessible to everyone to come in and have the artists leave, what people might not realize they're doing is they're taking away the very thing that people want when they come here. The reason people come to Venice is because there's an allowance of being who you are and staying away from the status quo. So it keeps you awake and alert and alive. And if you let that die, it's really hard to get it back. And if you look at what's happening in Paris, if you look at what's happening in Boston, if you look at what's happening in New York, the people at the top are starting to spend a lot of money trying to get artists to come back and make that soil rich, because then community grows. What's happening here is the community. I'll take the rest of Alberto's time. He only talked for a couple seconds.
Nice try. Yeah? Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, else want to volunteer their time?
I have one more thing to say that you need to hear. It took me 3 years to find a studio in Venice. All I could find was $900 a month for 10 by 10. It went up another $100. I don't have anywhere to work. Only other studio I'm aware of is $4,000 a month. What kind of artist do you want in Venice? What happens when we leave?
Thank you. Mark Rybeck, then George Abramson, then Yuri Cole.
Commissioner Kinsey, Heidi Bright and Tammy Pardee have both offered me their time.
Okay.
But I'll try to be shorter than that. I have provided my remarks in writing. It says VSA on the top left corner. You could follow along if you like. My name is Mark Rybeck, and I'm president of the Venice Stakeholders Association. We're a nonprofit dedicated to civic improvement and public safety in Venice. I would like to address two topics this morning. The first are the obstacles in Venice Beach to visitor-serving mandate of the Coastal Act. Second, historic preservation. Over the last year and a half, the City of Los Angeles has allowed the Venice Beach Recreation Area, which stretches from the Santa Monica border down to the jetty in the marina, to become Skid Row West. I would advise you that you should walk the entire length of the boardwalk from Rose at least down to Windward to fully understand the truth of my statement. Permanent encampments of transients have literally occupied many areas of the park along the boardwalk and deny them to visitors and to residents alike. These encampments act as incubators for crime inland. For example, there have been 5 home invasions in my immediate neighborhood since last April committed by transients living along Venice Beach. Due to the unwillingness of city officials, the mayor, the councilman, Department of Recreation and Parks, and the LAPD to enforce existing laws against camping in parks in the city of Los Angeles, our organization has filed a lawsuit funded by residents against the city for maintaining a dangerous public nuisance along Venice Beach. We strongly support the city's midnight to 5 a.m. beach curfew, which is the only measure that gives some respite to residents from the very loud and dangerous conditions that would otherwise exist in the park along the boardwalk at night. Our attorneys, and now the Los Angeles City Attorney, believe the curfew is a legal exercise of the city's inherent police powers and thus exempt from the Coastal Act, and no CDP is required. Before you consider filing a lawsuit against the city to require that it apply for a CDP, you should spend a night at Venice Beach with the LAPD and some adjacent residents, not some of those you see represented here who don't live within a few blocks of the beach, to understand our need for the curfew to remain in place as it currently operates to offer a modicum of protection and relief to residents. Your commission might also want to give some thought to whether by allowing encampments in a coastal park, the city is denying the use of these areas to visitors, and thus the city is in violation of the Coastal Act. Next, I'd like to address historic preservation issues in Venice. On this issue, I have some standing. As you'll see from the second page of my remarks, I have restored my 1905 Islamo-Byzantine house, which was built by one of Abbot Kinney's senior craftsmen. Bullshit!
Listen, hey.
She started it. Come on. I'm tired of it.
Right, yeah.
If everybody could please
right.
use, they can. You can signal that finish. You like or don't like something with your hands, but please, if
and
everybody could be respectful.
And I've remodeled the 1949 structure behind it in the same historical vernacular. While I love the craftsmen and California bungalow residents of Venice, there is now a pernicious move to lock in place only what exists today, without acknowledging that many modernist structures have been built throughout Venice over the last 20 years. Over 20 years ago, I and Betsy Goldman of the Venice Historical Society and architect Michael King proposed adoption of an historic density bonus ordinance that would allow owners to expand the size of their structures, observe existing non-conforming setbacks, and allow parking and side yard setbacks if the historic vernacular of the structure was maintained. In other words, we asked the city to entice owners to remodel in the craftsman and bungalow style by slightly relaxing then existing building codes. The result would have been larger craftsman and bungalow structures while maintaining the visual look of Venice streetscapes. Councilwoman Galanter ignored our proposal and instead inserted the requirement to receive a project permit under the local coastal specific plan would have to meet the mass scale and character of the neighborhood without giving any definition to what those words mean. Thus, for over 20 years, owners have been bulldozing one-story bungalows and erecting three-story stucco boxes that max out the building envelope. You'll see this on your tour. One-story bungalows next to three-story stucco boxes. That's what's currently allowed under the Venice-specific plan. Only in a few instances have projects been stopped by residents demanding that the planning department apply the mass, scale, and character standard. To now legislate that no one can replace a craftsman or bungalow structure would be grossly unfair, probably illegal, and ignores that many of these 100-year-old structures are about to fall apart. I know, because I spent 25 years restoring one. It is unclear if your commission has a role in this matter. It is the city that must commit the planning department staff to carefully and thoughtfully revisit the failings of the Venice Local Coastal Specific Plan to preserve these historic structures and to craft sub-neighborhood by sub-neighborhood with residents amendments to the specific plan that invite owners to remodel these historic structures in the same vernacular and give owners incentives to do so while also limiting to some extent the building envelope to avoid mansionization.
Thank you.
What? Can I just finish?
No, actually, you've had 6 minutes. We have a lot of folks.
Thank you very much.
To Heidi, did you say, had ceded time to you?
Also Heidi Bright.
No, Heidi, but who in addition?
Tammy Pardee and Heidi Bright.
Thank you.
Okay. Bruce Russell of Marina Del Rey.
Wait a second. It was George. I'm sorry. I hadn't called you. Nice try. George Abramson.
Abrahams. Okay, subject is
Uri Cole, then Kim Gordon.
Okay, subject is 283 Trino. As an adjoining property owner, Leah Renee is entitled to participate in any discussion and to have immediate access to all documents and correspondence with Coastal Commission staff considering or preparing an emergency coastal development permit at 283 Trino. Yesterday, when she asked to see the files at the Long Beach office, she was denied access in violation of 6253 A and D of the Public Records Act. The commission should order the staff to immediately release all documents and correspondence to Leah. What evidence is there that there's an emergency condition at 283 Trino? Who made the finding of an emergency? What are his qualifications? The fact is that there has been no geological movement at the site, and there is no weather condition. Without any evidence of an emergency, this is nothing less than an attempt by the applicant to circumvent the Coastal Act and to evade the city planning process. The applicant has been dishonest throughout the process. He has submitted false building permits that did not accurately describe the work to be done. He has submitted false architectural plans where the inside dimensions were greater than the outside dimensions. I think Doctor Who travels around in a device like this. He has changed his characterization of events at a purported LADBS appeal hearing. There is no reason to believe that his request for an emergency permit has any credibility. The commission should deny the application for an emergency permit.
Thank you. Uri, followed by Kim Gordon, and then Leah Renee. Just one moment. Commissioner Vargas?
I just want to I think some of these issues were raised on day one of our meeting, but I wasn't here. I'm hoping staff can just kind of give me a quick briefing on what is going on with 283 Trino. Is there an application? And the reason I'm asking is I actually have had communications with these folks, and I just want to make sure it's a whether it's an ex parte or not.
Yeah, the way we where this process will unfold is that the City of L.A. will process their permit for the Trino Way project, followed by our permit. In the meantime, the applicant has indicated his intent to submit an emergency permit because there's some instability in a site, which has been confirmed by our geologist and the City of L.A. So we'll be working on that emergency permit to see and determine if that is valid. So that's where it stands right now.
And the emergency permit would not necessarily supersede the other chain of the permit cycle, permit in L.A. and permit to come to us. It's just to address the emergency foundation situation?
It would, to address those stability issues to ensure the site will not, there will be no landslide there or damage to surrounding properties.
Is there an actual application pending or submitted? For the emergency?
Not at this time. We're waiting for the applicant to submit the actual application.
So there's no application number?
Not this time, no.
And is there, is there an application, did they submit concurrently for the normal application for the City of Los Angeles as well as the coastal application for the?
Yes, they have submitted to the City of L.A., and we have a pending application in-house that may have to be withdrawn to resubmit it in order to get the timing right.
Okay, very good. And are applications normally available for public viewing when they're pending?
Okay. Yes.
Great.
Thank you. Yes, thanks for your patience, Uri. Please. And then he'll be followed by Kim Gordon, Leah Renee, and David Ewing, and that will be the end of public comment for this morning.
Can you start my time back again?
Of course.
Thanks.
I'll try to be very quick. My name is Yuri Cole. I'm a 35-year resident of Venice Beach. I've been an artist here for a very, very long time. I've lived on the boardwalk during its tough times. I've lived on the boardwalk during its best times. I would suggest that the gentleman who spoke just before the man who just spoke before me is being materially hypocritical in his comments, because his time was ceded by two of the worst developers in our city. Second, I believe that the character of our neighborhood is not determined by the look of the buildings in our city. It is determined by the people that live in them. And in my particular case, I live in a small, nondescript apartment building that you wouldn't think was an artist studio, which is a block away from the Venice Art Block. That's 70 of us around Venice who represent the artists, many of the artists who live in Venice. My apartment is a stone's throw away from another development that costs twice as much as me to live in. I managed to get a 3-year lease to stay there, but it's going to double, and I'll be have to leave Venice. That's the reason we all got together. Second, I believe that the Coastal Commission plan that has been in place for all these years has worked. I'll give you one perfect example. The walk streets were going to be demolished in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Sandy Blyfer put together a plan, and the walk streets, 65 of them, were saved. That's the character of Venice. No place in the country has a city like it, and they're modeling people after them. Another thing that changed is, through a system like yours, is Heal the Bay helped clean the bay up. From, you know, they started in 1985, and you guys helped facilitate that. You guys also helped make sure that there were no oil drilling in Los Angeles County. That's why we have a beautiful view here. Eric, Martha, Greg, Carol, Steve, Jane, Dana, Wendy, Randy, Dale, all of you are individuals, and so are we. We ask you to look at our city, study it, but don't just look at the buildings. Talk to the people and ask them questions, especially the artists. We care. That's why I brought the endangered shirt today, because we're worried. We need your help. Thank you.
Kim, then Leah, then David. Kim?
Oh, hi. Sorry. I thought you were going to answer his question. I've never done this before, so I'm a little nervous. Dude. Me too.
No, it isn't, unfortunately. There are at least 40 more speaker cards, and we still have items on our regularly scheduled agenda and a field trip to Venice to see the things that many people are talking about. So you may, absolutely. Yes.
Hi, my name is Kim Gordon. I've lived and worked in Venice for over 20 years. As an artist and designer, I'm proud to build beautiful homes for families in this funny place that I've chosen, that many of us chosen as our home. Building homes means that I've had to go to City Hall to obtain permits. I've paid the fees, a large portion of which goes into the LA Unified, which needs every penny. There are basic building and safety laws which call out for height, size, and parking. These are straightforward, and no one can obtain a permit without following them. They're thought out by people who see the big picture of deciding what is fair and right to all. Now the Coastal Commission has changed the de minimis waiver, forcing us to struggle from a few months to over a year. This costs a lot of money to carry a house, and our dream of moving in before the baby is born can get screwed. No pun intended. We will get the permit. It will just take longer, because I believe the Coastal Commission kind of abandoned it a little. And for business, that does mean more expensive housing. Venice is famously weird. It's a beach community full of creatives, living in homes that they fill with love. And it always has been. It has a history in being unique. It has a precedent in being artsy. Artsy looks like these streets where tiny shacks stand next to giant homes that stand next to HUD buildings. This is the whole point. It's not Santa Monica. It's not Pasadena. It's a tiny part of Los Angeles. It's Venice, crazy artsy Venice that has found some celebrity and is getting a few makeovers. The average square footage for homes in America is 2,600 square feet. You have to build our cottages to obtain anything close to that, because Venice is finally attracting families, and that helps our local public schools, and they need at least 3 bedrooms. The Coastal Commission cannot create a coast full of the same houses. Orange County, Santa Barbara, El Segundo, how can it? Only Venice is crammed with renegade pissing RV owners and drug dealers and gangs, and then those young hipster people with beards and really, really white teeth. To provide for this variety requires a variety of housing. Tourists don't come to Venice to see gingerbread houses in a row. It's not consistent with its wild history.
Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Ms. Renee?
If people could please remain quiet and allow the public comment period to go forward. Thank you.
Hi. So, good morning. Thank you for giving me the time this morning. I want to address something really quick. I'm online, and I just went on to the city's website. I'm going to answer your question. There is no coastal development permit application by 283 Trina Way. There has never been. I have a certified true and certified copy. I've emailed it all to you. It's a ploy. It's another backdoor entrance. You can go online. It's right here. And, yes, the emergency waiver will supersede the coastal development permit. Plus, the retaining wall that they want to put in is a $175,000 retaining wall with 9 piles. I mean, it's like 16 or 25 piles. We already have 9 piles. They're there. They got them illegally. They put them in. So we already have the safety. They want to cut the rest of the bluff. And the reason why I dropped everything off to you, you can look at it. They want to circumvent. It's called the Regional Interpretive Guidelines. Actually, Al Padilla doesn't want to tell it to the city of Los Angeles, with all due respect. That's probably why he left. So I've given it all to you, and I'm going to put it online because everybody here needs the rule book. And I, somebody here asked me, what do I do here? And I said, well, it's my reading material. So there it all is, 52 seconds. I'm just going to go through what geologists said about my safety. They said, in conclusion, this is Delta Group, who said, in my professional opinion, the request appears to be an attempt to advance the project further along and is not justified by geotechnical engineering safety concerns. And who is this man? He's a professor at UCLA where he teaches slope stability and the design of retaining wall structures. It's all laid out here. So please, I have a constitutional right. If you approve this, it'll be your fourth time you've denied me due process, public hearing, notice, and I think I have a constitutional right to protect my property. I'm the upslope person you're supposed to be saving. And if I don't even know what an emergency is, they don't even have the emergency permit for me to see. That's why I missed public comment yesterday, as I didn't get to see it, and I was deprived of that. Thank you.
David?
Good morning, Chair Kinsey and Commissioners.
Good morning.
We're thrilled you're coming to Venice today. The real story is not just what you'll see on the streets. What's on the property rolls is equally revealing. I sometimes feel like Jake Giddy's in Chinatown. You remember the scene in the records office when he discovers the whole valley is being bought up? We're being flooded with investment capital, international money, phalanx of LLCs, hedge funds, New York banks, even a Russian oligarch, all scooping up properties and maxing them out to cash in on Venice's cachet. We need the protection of our LUP. It is a current document as recognized by the city as such. I want to read you a few things that are in it. And unfortunately, it reads like a list of abandoned intentions and broken promises. But here we go. Preservation of Venice as a special coastal community policy 1E1. It says Venice's unique social and architectural diversity should be protected. Policy 1E2 says that new development within the Venice coastal zone shall respect the scale and character of community development. And all new development and renovation should respect the scale, massing, and landscape of existing residential neighborhoods. When has that been enforced? Preservation of coastal of cultural resources. Policy 1F1 says the historical, architectural, and cultural character of structures and landmarks in Venice should be identified, protected, and restored where appropriate in accordance with historical preservation guidelines. And last but not least, the commercial art craft designation, policy 1B31. I quote, 1B3, and I quote, the purpose of this land use designation is to create enclaves in which the artisan segments of the population may live, create, and market their work to maintain the variety and distinctiveness of Venice lifestyles. I have given you all maps with the text of this on the back, and I hope you'll refer to them as you make your tour. And I'm also wondering, is there any possibility of another public comment period at the end of the day?
There will not be another public comment period at the end of today. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Coastal Commission for the very first time, I'm very disheartened by the arbitrary cut when people have been ceding time to one another and in a variety of ways over various issues that may be very important to them, and I, of course, support that protocol. But are we on such a tight schedule that there's absolutely no way to accommodate the residents who came down to address the California Coastal Commission today?
Unfortunately, that is the case. I understand your concern.
How many people are remaining in the queue, sir?
36.
And that would take 36 minutes?
Take an hour and 20 minutes. And
right.
We have a field trip that I think we are trying to actually engage with the community, see firsthand what Venice is struggling with. And as a result, we're not going to be in a position.
If that were to spill by an hour, what would be the harm to the public?
Yeah, it's just not something that we can do on the end of our three-day meeting.
Santa Monica very often.
I understand.
Sir, we have...
No, I do understand. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I understand, yes. And I recognize that. But that's the nature of it. We're going to have to proceed. So thank you. And I'm going to move on to next item on the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is item number 5. And these are the administrative permits for Los Angeles County portion of South Coast District.
Sure.
And staff is not aware. Well, actually, we did receive some, I think we have some speaker slips of opposition on the administrative permit, but staff is recommending the commission concur with executive director's determination on this matter. So I believe we may have a couple of speakers.
We do. I'm going to invite up Robin Ruddesill, followed by Karen Molly. Karen is only available for questions. But Robin, if you'd like to.
I'm Robin Ruddesill. For purposes of identification, I'm the chair of the Venice Land Use and Planning Committee. I'm speaking here today just on my own behalf. I wanted to say a word in support of this project because I was very happy to see an excellent analysis by the staff on the character of this project, and it may seem small. It's just an admin permit, and it's just a paragraph, but it's better than any of the coastal development permit findings I've seen coming out of the city, and I really want to emphasize that and maybe suggest some training by this person, Dobson, A. Dobson, to the city. She did a great job. I also want to compliment the developer here who is truly trying to do a project that is consistent with the community character of their block and their neighborhood. And that is what is going to save Venice, that there is a crisis of overdevelopment and illegal development in Venice. I'm not against development. I'm against illegal development. And I'm against development that's turning Venice into one big three-story bunker. Cheating is rampant. Developers are speculating, and it's out of control. It's actually a very scary situation. The residential neighborhoods are in an uproar, as you can see here. Venice is under duress from all this overdevelopment and out-of-scale development that's being allowed to go on. We're trying everything. We come here to you. You refer us back to the city. We try everything that we can possibly do to get their attention and get them to control this, but they are not. And the character of our precious Venice is being ruined more and more every single day by this overdevelopment. There is so much corruption and conflict of interest and violation of codes and laws that we simply can't even analyze a Venice project on its own merits. Venice is being exploited for short-term gain by investors with a short-term horizon. Please help us.
Thanks
for
your comments.
I look forward to the tour today.
And thanks for your service to the community. Bring it back. Is there any unwillingness for unanimous concurrence with the administrative calendar? Seeing none, we do concur.
No, there may have been a second speaker card.
There was.
I don't have it, but come forward, Lydia.
Thank you so much, Lydia Ponce.
Our government representatives are for the public, and until they are seated, we make public record requests. And to date, we still do not have the city planning request that we made back in March of 2014. We are here today to ask you to please exercise your state muscle. Flex your state muscle, because this year we are asking for that interim control ordinance. Place it on the agenda, make a motion, because Venice is the have-nots and have-yots. Between the Craftsman Historical Homes and the versus the McMansion Bubs, the big ugly boxes. Council District 11 cannot have an ordinance criminalizing the unhoused and not have affordable housing to offer relocation, displacement of people. It's just cruel and inhumane. It is racial, social, economic housing discrimination. Rent control makes it possible for people to establish their lives and raise families and stay in this city, even as economic changes that have nothing to do with them ravage the affordable housing stock. It keeps the city vibrant and diverse. Overall, if there's an impact on wealth, it's a shift from those who have to those who have less, which is this country believed in once upon a time. That's the end of a quote from Vanishing San Francisco. Or is it Echo Park or Silver Lake, Boyle Heights, East LA, Compton, Watts, South Central LA, or Venice? Why is this country a country of gentrification? Why is it not stopping from New York, Florida, Chicago? Housing is a human right. I hope you all enjoy your visit here, and I hope the tour is a great success. But beware, because the West Side is where butterflies are not even protected or safe to have a home. Property gangsters right here in this audience have carte blanche. Sitting Bull said it best, and I quote from 500 years plus, the white man will sell their ancestors' graves for a profit. And that offspring, ladies and gentlemen, and that tree is a relative of ours. And so are the trees, because the trees breathe what we give them, and we breathe what the trees give. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Vargas.
Thank you. I just want to make a quick comment and thank folks like Lydia. I believe, Lydia Ponce, you've been coming to our meetings for quite a while now. Miss Ponce, I would hope you've been coming for, you and your group have been coming for as long as I've been on this commission. And I hope you can express to your group of folks here that we've been very sympathetic, we've been very open, and it's led to us coming here, right? Thank you. What I want to also express is please, if you can have any control over your group, show some respect and civility to each other, and don't burn the goodwill that you've created with us, okay? We're going on a tour in Venice, and it's going to be a public tour. Let's have some composure. Let's have some civility. We're here because we love Venice, and we understand there are a lot of issues. Don't burn your goodwill.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to keep it moving so we can get on that tour. The next item is our consent agenda, I believe.
Yeah, and so we did get concurrence on the admin calendar.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 6 are the consent calendar permits for the Los Angeles County portion of the South Coast District, and we have one consent item on that calendar. We recommend the commission vote and approve that item.
Thank you. Do I have a motion for consent?
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, we approve that consent calendar.
The next item is item number 10, and this is Deputy Director's report for Los Angeles County.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me, yes.
We did file a statement for 6A.
You did. Okay. Please come forward. I don't see one here, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. My name is John Sangmeister. I'm a resident of the city of Long Beach. I'm a business owner.
Just
I own
pull that microphone just a little higher up. Thank you.
And in a past life, I served as a director and ultimately chairman of the largest property-based improvement district in that city. I speak to you today, though, as an individual. For the last 10 years, we've worked with the Long Beach Grand Prix Association. In that time, we've also worked with much larger events, specifically two Red Bull Flugtags, which generated record attendance to our waterfront. I remember them very well because I broke 3 ribs jumping off the pier, and it was an exciting day. What was most remarkable about that day is that by 6 p.m., the streets were open to the public. that all access to the waterfront was readily available. And I'm here today to encourage you to mandate that the Grand Prix Association shorten their time in the staging and construction of the track in Long Beach. At the 2010 California Commission hearing of the Long Beach Grand Prix Association's application, the Grand Prix Association was ordered to conduct public meetings prior and post-event to develop a dialogue with all affected stakeholders to mitigate the real and negative impacts of staging this event. We would ask the California Coastal Commission today to strengthen the language surrounding these meetings to require that discussions take place, the agenda includes suggestions and recommendations for staging improvements, and that the Grand Prix Association present these suggestions and recommendations to the full Long Beach City Council public hearing for further discussion and evaluation when that body reviews the Long Beach Grand Prix Association's special events permit application. It's important to note that the Long Beach Grand Prix Association has, in effect, extended their operating permit. This says April 17th through the 19th. But in effect, with Formula Drift and now proposed Formula E, we are not talking about 4 days, but 10, 11, and 12. Therefore, we would request the following specific amendments to the applicant's permit. One, construction of the grandstand south of Shoreline Drive between Pine Avenue and Aquarium Way cannot begin prior to April 12, 2015. Two, Pine Avenue and Shoreline Drive be reopened to public vehicular traffic by 6 p.m. on all days that the track is available to racing. And three, the construction and equipment granted in this permit be used solely for the purposes of the 2015 Long Beach Grand Prix. The use of this equipment and infrastructure may not be loaned, leased, or rented to other organizations using a series of, quote, one-day, 24-hour special event permits issued by the City of Long Beach. I thank you for your consideration in this matter. I have delivered a printed version of this, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'll bring back to the staff. Jack, can you respond to those suggestions?
We have, this item has been on your agenda every year for the last, 25 years or so, Chuck? And last year there were some adjustments made to the timing, included the public participation. We believe there are adequate public access provisions included in the this plan for the Grand Prix with regard to access to public areas, to businesses, and we would not recommend pulling this off the consent calendar. I think we have addressed this issue.
Thank you.
And I believe you already took a vote. So,
well, we did. Although I'd be willing to revisit it if commissioners felt that new information warranted it. But as it relates to this question about reopening Pine Avenue by 6 p.m., for example, just as an example, whose responsibility is it? Is that the City of Long Beach responsibility?
Yeah, it's the City of Long Beach and the Grand Prix Association together. They're running that event.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain race times and things and coordination of it that takes place. And we just don't believe there's any significant access impacts associated with the Grand Prix.
Okay.
It's off-season. And that area of Long Beach is used for special events all the time.
Okay. Well, I would just ask that you take into consideration the comments that were made, and if it comes back to us on an annual basis, perhaps you could monitor those factors in the future applications. And with that, unless any commissioners want to revisit the action that we took based on the public comment, we'll move forward.
This is next item is item 10, and this is the deputy director's report for the Los Angeles County portion of the South Coast District. We have four waivers, two immaterial permit amendments, and one immaterial permit extension. We did receive a late letter of objection to the immaterial permit extension, which we passed out. We don't believe there are any changed circumstances here that would warrant pulling this off the district director's report as an immaterial amendment. And we recommend the commission concur with the executive director on the DDR.
Thank you. I have a number of speakers related to this, and I'll invite them up. Eric Previn. Is Eric here? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Eric Previn, and I am a resident of Studio City, California. I'm a little involved in local politics. I go to the county meetings, and I'm now running for a city council seat in Council District 2 of L.A. City. I have a lot of experience with Los Angeles County, and I know that the director's report was kind of summarized here. The issue that I wanted to bring to the attention of the California Coastal Commission has to do with Team Marina, which I think, as you know, is the group that was put together by Supervisor Kanabe and others at the county to help facilitate an agenda. And the agenda is multi-pronged, so I won't get into the minutiae of it. I just want to address the clear kind of idea there, which is, you know, the marina was set up by charter to be a recreational facility
Chair,
for folks by
Chair,
the water.
This does not appear to be a comment related to the item on the agenda.
Thank you. The item is the Deputy Director's report, which addresses emergency
I know, but that,
permits.
That report was not coded properly for folks to understand what he was talking about. And I asked for the copy of the documentation, and they didn't have it available at the meeting. They didn't have it even in agenda, because you've had such a gangbusters turnout, which is great, for the Venice tour. And by the way, let me say about the Venice tour that I absolutely support what you all are doing by going and having a look, because it is one of the issues that we all face here in the California coast, and it's very important to understand that these developments, we don't want these areas to become for rich people only, and that's what I think a lot of people have been talking about.
Right.
And so I'm on point here on L.A. County. If you want to try
Chair.
To shut me down,
right.
that's
Chair,
fine.
This is
you
part of the Deputy Director's report, and people who are speaking on topic
right.
are supposed to be speaking about the Deputy Director's report or the item for which they have signed up. And that's the way we keep this process fair for everybody to have signed up on a particular item.
Well, it's an interesting time to bring up fair for everybody because there were a number of constituents who were pushed from the
Sir,
course
this
today.
Is not Thank the,
you.
This is editorializing.
You know,
well, you know, I'll come back on item 13A, which I've signed up for, and I'll speak directly on that point. But I really feel that we are missing something here where that guy comes in. He didn't sign up. He says I signed up, and then he
no.
could speak.
No,
but
he spoke directly to the matter in hand. There were a number of specific issues.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
issues.
The executive director's report of L.A. County as well.
No, you're not. These are not the executive director's report. These are specific
sir, please.
Specific matters.
Okay.
So I appreciate your – look, I'm going to take – it's fine. I understand your interest, and
well, we're spending 45
can come
minutes
back.
Talk about the Brown Act rather than giving
Thank
you a guy
you.
A chance to finish
Thanks
two
very
minutes.
Much. So we're going to
okay.
I'm going to move
appreciate
on
it.
Then to – Sue Kaplan, are you going to speak to any of these specific items?
I'm going to speak about development and historic preservation.
That is not related to the
no.
particulars. These are administrative permits, executive actions, waivers, and there are very specific permits that are being discussed.
I understand. Is there any place I can talk about the tour
before? No, not on the public record. Moving on then to Linda Lux, are you going to speak about any particular specific matter? I want to make sure that we're fair here as well.
I wanted to speak about the LCP process generically that relates to the individual ones,
no.
but it's not the specific one.
There are no excuse me, Mr. Chairman. There are no Venice items on the district director's report.
Well, there was one. It was pulled, I guess, the Girard.
That is a that was an item that was postponed.
Yeah, that
so,
was. So that was what
there
I was
are no Venice
speak
items on.
But I do want to just
you.
Welcome you all to Venice and know that we have counted on you. I have to say this. We've counted on you since the 70s. I personally have been involved since then. If it weren't for the Coastal Commission, Venice Beach would already look like Miami Beach. There were plans to do high-rises along the beach. So because the city isn't doing its job and hasn't done its LCP, we rely on you to protect us. And it's really important
Thank
to
you.
Understand the social ecology
Thank
of Venice.
Thank you very much.
And
we're working
okay.
hard to get that.
You
You're
are.
Giving us a good flavor.
And I appreciate it.
So let's keep moving along. Amanda, is there any particular matter that you want to speak to on the administrative calendar? No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yana, any particular specific matter? Thank you. Lydia Ponce, any? Nope. Okay. And Nicole, any specific matter related to the administrative agenda?
Actually, I have a comment on the actual report that's given.
Thank you.
So when you give the report, I think the gentleman before kind of said, we don't know what's going on. And so if when you give your report, if you can get some newbies up to speed sometime and give a little bit more explanation when time permits, that's really helpful. But I would also suggest that in preparing those kinds of reports that we include some of the provisions that they are incorporating on Davos Plan B from the World Economic Forum. Bringing in those levels of dialogue on routine reports get the public up to speed on a different kind of perspective with which to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Please, sir.
I submitted a request to speak on this item. I don't know why you have it.
And your name?
People of California.
Oh yes. People? Please,
yes,
go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate being recognized when I actually take the time to do that.
Sure. And then it's to the specific matter
Yes, it is. It's specifically about the deputy director's report and what it lacked. And I believe it also referred to some emergency items. I'm very concerned about this. There's an emergency beach berm you guys have been approving for years and years and years in Venice, while up in Ocean Beach, you're talking about managed retreat of the Great Highway. You would deny them the opportunity to put up berms. In this case, the county has been resubmitting the same application over and over again for a useless beach berm that protects nothing. And this deputy director here removed it from the calendar last spring and approved it as an emergency action, meaning you guys don't get to vote on it because there was opposition. See, prior to that, it could be approved because there was no opposition. As soon as people realized what was going on and began organizing and opposing, then the deputy director appears to be acting on behalf of the County of Los Angeles for their beach berm, which does nothing except destroy the shape of the beach, ruins the surf, it destroys recreational opportunities, and it appears to be some sort of collusion. So I would like to see any correspondence or records of calls between the County Department of Beaches and Harbors and this deputy director and his Chuck Posner, whoever is in charge there in Long Beach, because it seems to me like a coordinated attempt to circumvent the political process for something that is unjustifiable on any level. This is a waste of money. It destroys the beach, and it prevents people to access the coast. It creates a 15-foot-high barrier. I don't think that's handicapped accessible. Okay, you're destroying the beach at Venice. You're changing it from like a Newport Beach, a steep drop-off shore break, into a Huntington Beach with a flat bottom, which is great for surfers. But I'm a body surfer, and I've been surfing the south side of the Venice Pier on all sorts of different craft, including my hands, for many years.
Sir, if you could keep your comment focused on the deputy director's report.
The deputy director's report referred to an emergency item. I can't tell what that
Mr.
was.
Chairman,
as far
as I can tell, there are no emergency permit items on the district director's report this
month. Well, then I'm actually pointing out why that was not on there, which is the fact that he removed it and did it himself.
Well, I don't believe that needs to be fired. That is not the case. Thank you very much.
Well, no. Actually, I heard from Chuck Posner, if he'd like to speak to the idea. Because I spoke to him on the phone.
Sir, if you could.
I'm not Chuck Posner.
Thank you.
Whoever it is that answers their phones down there in Long Beach.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a matter of concurrence. Is that right for this?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to ask, is there any unwillingness for unanimous concurrence on this matter? Seeing none, we do concur on these administrative permits. Thank you.
So the next item up are the regular calendar permit items. Staff is recommending move to the consent calendar. We're recommending one item be moved to the consent calendar, and that's item 17C, the Verizon wireless permit application for the installation of a wireless antenna and some underground equipment vaults on Vista Del Mar Lane in Playa Del Rey in the city of Los Angeles. We're not aware of any opposition, I believe. That remains to be seen. And we recommend the commission vote and approve this item.
Thank you. We have a motion for consent.
So,
and second?
Second.
Thank you. Jack, I'm just going to make one point about this. I noticed that the language of the special conditions requires a permit to remove an additional permit should they remove these items in the future. And I would just say that in the spirit of getting things done efficiently, I would just ask you to consider whether we actually do need to have permits to take things down and whether we couldn't just have handled that within the original permit itself. And it's just something for you to look at for future. These are minor telecommunication facilities. And you have in both instances a requirement, both for the erosion and for the removal of the equipment if the technology changes.
Yeah, the only issue in this case is those underground vaults. If in fact this is ever abandoned, we want those removed from the from the right. from the bluff area.
I just think that you could handle it by saying that if such time you have that, you need to provide your plans to the executive director for concurrence. I'm just trying to save a little bit of your staff's time.
I very much appreciate that, and we will consider just having that requirement in the future.
Great. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second on consent. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? We approve the consent calendar.
Next item is item 12, and this is a request for extension of time to consider the City of Long Beach Local Coastal Program Amendment 3-13. The City is proposing to amend the implementing ordinance of LCP to include new regulations addressing signage, and the staff is requesting an extension of the 60-day time limit to act on this LCP amendment not to exceed 1 year. Our intent is to bring this back quickly to the Commission within the next couple months. The motion for to extend the time can be found at the bottom of the one-page staff report.
Thank
that
you.
That concludes my
yes. Commissioner Howell.
I move that the Commission extend the time limit to act on the City of Long Beach Local Coastal Program Amendment Number 3-13 for a period of 1 year.
Second.
Any opposition to a unanimous yes vote? We do provide that extension.
Next item is item 13A, and Zach Remy from our analyst in our South Coast office will present this item.
Good morning, commissioners. This is item F13A. I have a presentation. This is for coastal development application 5-14-0770. The co-applicants are MDR Boat Central LP and the Los Angeles County Department of Beaches and Harbors. Next slide. The development proposed by the application is the waterside portion of the Boat Central project within the Commission's permit jurisdiction in Marina Del Rey. Marina Del Rey is bordered by Venice to the north and the west and the Biona Wetlands Ecological Preserve to the south. Next slide. The Boat Central project was analyzed and planned for in an LCP amendment, MDR-MAJ-1-11, which the Commission approved with suggested modifications on November 3, 2011. That major update to the land use plan and the implementation plan designated this parcel as a future site for a dry stack storage facility and increased the height limit on the parcel to 75 feet, excluding accessory cranes, which may be taller than 75 feet. The project is consistent with the height limit and with other standards set by the LCP update, and the provision of 345 storage spaces for lease by owners of small boats is consistent with the LCP policies encouraging more small boat facilities. Commission staff encouraged the co-applicants to agree to a consolidated permit for the dry stack storage facility, part of which is under county jurisdiction and part of which is under commission jurisdiction, but they elected to separate the project into two CDP applications. On April 24, 2013, the county approved LCP, Local Coastal Development Permit 2008-00007 for the landside portion of the project. The landside portion includes the landside part of the structure as well as the landside part of the crane, a 30-space sailboat dry storage facility, a customer lounge and rec room facility, a relocated sheriff's facility, and a 134-space parking lot, as well as a public promenade and park. So the Commission has jurisdiction over the waterside portion of the project within Parcel 52, and the building within Parcel 52 would extend up to 97 feet over the water within Basin H. Other components of the project within the Commission's jurisdiction include a portion of the crane apparatus as well as the associated foundations for the building and the queuing docks. Next slide. So this is a site plan which shows the facility on the left, west side, and the surface parking lot to serve the facility on the right, east side. It also shows the location of the modular concrete floating queuing docks, which are supported by 30 concrete guide piles, which will be driven 30 feet below the surface of the water. Customers and visitors of the facility can load and unload people and equipment from these modular floating docks, which are temporary. They're not wet slips. They're only to load people and materials until such time as the boats can be lifted by the crane into the dry stack storage facility. The crane can lift up to 6 boats per hour, and there'll be a reservation system so the customers of the facility can plan when they want to unload and load their boats. Next slide. The foundation of the facility is supported by 22 48-inch thick steel bearing piles, which will impact approximately 300 square feet of soft-bottom habitat. The soft-bottom habitat of Basin H does not contain eelgrass and is not known to support endangered or sensitive species. However, a pre-construction eelgrass survey will be required. Section 30233 of the Coastal Act allows for fill of coastal waters only for public access and recreational opportunities and only where feasible mitigation measures have been provided. In this case, the facility will provide recreational boating opportunities for up to 345 members of the public and their guests, and impacts to the soft-bottom habitat will be mitigated by the additional vertical surface areas of the piles. There's also a condition in there that requires the applicants to maintain any biological life that may exist on the piles that they pull out of the water. Additionally, the co-applicants have proposed construction and post-construction best management practices to preserve and enhance water quality. Next slide. Here's some renderings of the structure at day and at nighttime. The visual impacts were contemplated in the major LCP amendment, and also as conditioned by the county permit, which approved the landside portion of the building, the development is consistent with the standards of the LCP. The proposed development will not impact any established view corridors and has been designed to preserve a partial ocean view from the surrounding parcels, which are mostly surface parking lots and other boating facilities. With 50% of the site retained for view-preserving uses, including a surface parking lot as well as the public promenade and park. The structure has been designed with architectural cladding to absorb light, which will also allow light to penetrate through the structure, and that removes the need for lighting of the structure during the daytime. It will be internally lit with down lighting shortly before daylight and for a few hours after sunset. The lighting scheme complies with bird safe standards that call for minimizing light spillage and maximizing light shielding. Next slide. This is the park proposed at the west side of the site, which is 1,560 square feet public view park at the water's edge, and it's got benches, a picnic area, drinking fountain, and bicycle racks. Staff is recommending approval of the Coastal Development Permit 5-14-0770 with special conditions requiring the applicants to conduct eelgrass and invasive algae surveys, implement construction best management practices to preserve water quality, minimize impacts from the pile driving to birds and as well as the water quality, undertake development in conformance with the permit, comply with the requirements of the resource agencies, agree to conditions for repair and removal of the development, and assume the risks of the development. And the conditions are all available in your staff report. They've been written to preserve both water quality and bird life, which may be in the nearby trees and in the Biona Wetlands Ecological Preserve. There was an addendum to this item, which was posted online and included in your packets. There were two minor errors in the staff report, which the addendum corrected, and there were three letters from interested parties. That concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Were there any ex partes that were not on file? Yes, okay. Commissioner McClure?
Yes, on January 6th, I met an in-person meeting with Susan McCabe in Marina Del Rey, and I received a briefing from the briefing book that was provided to staff, and we went over the storage facility over the water and the connection that it has with the LCPA. And the consultant indicated that the applicants are in complete agreement with the staff recommendations and special conditions as and request approval to the commission.
Commissioner Cox?
Commissioner Vargas. I fell asleep. Yes, I also had pretty much the exact same ex parte meeting on January 2nd at 9 a.m. with Michael Tripp, Roger Van Wert, Tom Hogan, Susan McCabe, and Ann Blepker, where we discussed the Boat Central project, and the applicants stated that they were in agreement with the staff report.
Thank you. Commissioner Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On January 2nd at 1 p.m., Greg Murphy and my staff had a telephone conversation with Susan McCabe, Ann Blemker, Michael Tripp, Roger Van Vert, and Tom Hogan. pretty much substantially the same. They provided some background on the map and text amendment to the Marina Del Rey LCP that was approved by the commission in November of 2011 and went through a briefing booklet that was previously provided to staff. Staff has concluded that the project will not set a precedent for new over-the-water development since the LCP language has been carefully structured and the applicants are in complete agreement with the staff recommendations and special conditions and request approval by the commission. Thank you.
Thank you. To my left, are there any ex partes? Yes, Commissioner Bochco.
Yes, on January 5th at 2 o'clock, I had a brief telephone call with Susan McCame, Tom Hogan. Basically, we just discussed that they were in full agreement with the staff report and briefly how the CDP application fit in with the overall marina project.
Thank you. Okay, if there are no others, then I will ask the applicant. I do see a number of folks here representing the application, the applicant, and most of them say they're available for questions or rebuttal. Is there anyone here who wants to make a presentation for the, on behalf of the applicant or applicants?
Thank you.
Your name?
I think we could, you know, I'd like to reserve 15 minutes for both presentation and rebuttal, if the chair.
And your name for the record?
Roger Van Wert.
Yes. Okay, Roger.
Okay.
So, and to reserve that for rebuttal only, or do you want to make a presentation?
I want to make a presentation.
Fine. 15 minutes, so for
and,
both.
And we'll use part of it now and part of it later.
That'd be just fine.
All right. I'll try to be quick. I know the commission wants to move ahead. Chairman Kinsey, members of the commission, I'm Roger Van Wert. I represent Boat Central. I am joined here today by Michael Tripp, representing the Department of Beaches and Harbors, and Anita Gutierrez from the Department of Regional Planning. And as the commission is aware, Beaches and Harbors is a joint applicant in this case. We are here today to consider the entitlement of the waterside component of the proposed Boat Central Dry Stack Storage Project at Marina Del Rey. But first, I'd like to acknowledge and thank Teresa Henry and Zach Ream, especially for their counsel as well as their efforts to prepare this case. We have reviewed the staff report and concur with the staff's recommendations and special conditions. The project received, as mentioned by the staff, the project received landside entitlements from Los Angeles County in the spring of 2013. And would implement key parts of the LCP policy certified by the commission in early 2012. This presentation lays out the benefits, discusses the overwater design, and also how the project implements the LCP. First is to the benefits. The project, the Boat Central project is the single largest expansion of boater facilities since the inception of Marina, representing a 7% increase in the overall number of berths marina-wide. The project will cater to boats in the 20 to 36-foot range, ensuring that the marina continues to provide waterfront storage options for the small boater. Boat Central project adds a new storage option for the small boater, opening up the marina to new segments of the population. Lastly, because the project is environmentally friendly, out-of-the-water storage significantly reduces water pollution associated with in-water storage, and the project's unique materials and design allow natural lighting and ventilation of the dry stack structure. Next, I'd like to talk about the overwater design advantages. As shown in this representation, Boat Central structure is 45 feet over the water on the east side and 97 feet over the water on the west side. A central gantry crane with hydraulic lifts maneuver boats between the storage spaces and the water. In addition to the efficient direct transfer of boats to and from the water, the overwater portion provides a 30% increase in the storage capacity. Further, the overwater design has several benefits over the traditional landside dry storage. The proposed design, which utilizes, as I mentioned, the gantry crane, is narrower and taller than the typical landside structure, allowing approximately 50% more gross storage area, while at the same time providing a wide view corridor to the water, as shown in the next slide. The boat's central design is able to provide a 50% view corridor to the water above the 40% required by the LCP. And as you can see, the typical landside only dry structure must be oriented parallel to the water, affording a much smaller view corridor. Lastly, the overwater design is incredibly space efficient, utilizing very little water area to store 345 boats. As you can see in this graphic, the water area consumed by the Boat Central project is shown in the blue polygon. As a comparison, it would take at least three times the water area of the adjacent marina shown in the red rectangle to store the same number of boats. Although Boat Central is a dry storage facility, it is able to provide the same convenient on-water boarding as wet slips through the call-up reservation and dock queuing system. The dry stack structure is a notable new presence. However, we will demonstrate in the following photos the structure does not obstruct water views. As you can see in this before and after from Chase Park, the structure is certainly visually prominent, but no protected views, public spaces are blocked, and views of Basin H are maintained. As you can see in this perspective from the public launch ramp, the structure does not encroach on the water views of Basin H. Lastly, I would like to cover how the project implements the LCP. The Boat Central project directly supports four priority LCP policies: recreational boating, access to the shoreline, preservation of the small craft harbor, and views of the harbor. The project is consistent with the LCP development standards for height, view corridor, and promenade location, and represents a major contribution to the LCP mandate for having 1,000 dry storage spaces available within Marina Del Rey. The project further follows the LCP as it relates to public access. As directed by the LCP, the project includes a landscape walkway along Fiji Way and the west side of the dry stack structure, which leads to a waterfront park shown here. The final graphic that illustrates that the overwater design component does not encroach into the Basin H channel and does not impede navigation to and from the public launch ramp. As can be seen, as you can see, the Boat Central structure extends a maximum of 97 feet into the basin. This is only half as far as the adjacent wet slip marina, which extends 200 feet into the basin. The graphic also shows that even the nearest float from the launch ramp, there is ample separation from the project and more than sufficient water area for navigation purposes. So to conclude, the project has been under public review for several years and has received approvals from the County of Los Angeles and this commission. This hearing is the waterside component is the last piece of the entitlement puzzle. We request the Commission's approval of the waterside elements for this significant addition to boater recreation amenities in Marina Del Rey. We thank the Commission for their consideration of the waterside CDP, and we reserve remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to invite up, we have a number of speakers. I'm going to invite up Ed Casey, who will be followed by Rick Offinger, and then Eric Previn, and you'll each have 2 minutes.
Good morning, Chairman Kinsey and Commissioners. My name is Ed Casey. I'm an attorney for Fantasy Yachts, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide comments on this item to you this morning. We did submit a letter on this item under Alston & Byrd letterhead, and I understand it was included in the addendum to the staff report. So I'll keep my remarks brief today. Fantasy Yachts is a family-owned business and actually is one of the oldest visitor-serving uses in the marina, providing both charter and cruise boat events. It currently operates at Dock 52, which would be eliminated by the Boat Central project. And, in fact, there are many other visitor-serving uses currently operating at Dock 52, which will also be displaced. Altogether, these visitor-serving uses bring in about 100,000 visitors to the marina. So I'm here to advocate for the addition of a very straightforward and single-sentence condition of approval. And actually, it was distributed this morning. It should be before you. It's entitled as Item 13A. It is very similar to a condition of approval in the county permits that was carefully crafted by the County Department of Beaches and Harbors. And it's a very straightforward approach. It's designed to ensure that the new location for my client's visitor-serving uses, as well as the others, will be in place at Dock 55 before Dock 52 is eliminated. I believe the only objection to this condition is that it would be redundant of the condition in the county permits. But I would submit to you that these uses as visitor-serving uses are statutorily protected under the Coastal Act, and therefore this commission has an independent obligation to ensure that there continues to be an opportunity for these uses to be at the marina. So while some may say that this approach is belt and suspenders, I would urge the commission to embrace that approach, since it will ensure that these statutorily protected uses remain protected. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick? Then Eric, then Bruce Russell.
Hello, my name is Rick Effinger. I'm the president of Marina Del Rey Sport Fishing. And Ed pretty much said what I'm thinking, but just want to ensure that when we do get relocated, our needs are met. Marina Del Rey Sport Fishing is the major, largest user of Dock 52. Probably stand to lose or the most if we get relocated. We need to see that our needs are met. Actually, Marina Del Rey Sport Fishing is a reason for Dock 52's existence in the first place. They built it for sport fishing charters. And just so you know, we want to be sure that our boarding facilities and parking facilities are adequate and realistic for our use. In 2014, our boats, which range from 80 to 42 feet long, they're not little small craft, made 1,921 individual trips from Dock 52. We carried upwards of 50,000 people on whale watching and sport fishing trips. I've done several parking surveys over the years, probably over the last 20 years, and it's remained constant that our passengers come about 1.7 people per vehicle, and none of them use public transportation or pretty much any other means to get to their sport fishing or whale watching destination. We need parking, and we need to get it down in writing that is just within steps of our boarding facilities. You know, sport fishing especially is a very equipment-intensive endeavor, and people bring tackle boxes, fishing rods, jackets, coolers, ice chests, and they can't be expected to lug this stuff for hundreds of yards or even blocks to board one of our boats. Then, of course, when they get off the boat, they got sacks of fish, wet gunny sacks or plastic fillet bags of fillets. And once again, this our facilities have got to be just within steps of our boarding spot. And that's what I'd like to ask you to keep in mind and put down in writing.
Thank you.
Any questions?
We take questions if we wish to. We'll ask you at the appropriate time. That's fine. Thank you. Eric Previn, then Bruce Russell.
Yeah.
Eric first.
Yes, it is Eric Previn, a resident of Studio City. My kids have come down to Marina Del Rey and used the California Yacht Club. But this particular boating proposal for Boat Central caught my attention. You know, in lay terms, I think that this appears to be a bad idea. The idea that a 36-foot craft is a small boat needs to be closely looked at. I'm sure it is in the big spectrum. But ordinary residents coming down to this recreational facility down in Marina Del Rey are not going to be able to afford this kind of a service. Some could, certainly. I think those who have some money could. This is a kind of a concept that appeals to folks who have some money and want to leave the boat at the water. It's very similar to a valet service, frankly. In fact, there's a similar program for automobiles in Burbank, which it's designed for luxury condos. Now, luxury condos is a catchword down here in the MDR, Marina Del Rey, because what we've seen, and I was trying to make these comments in my public comment, is a advance in the proliferation of these kinds of larger structures. So then it gets to the design piece on this particular structure. You know, when they showed the picture of the little blinking box, I took note. When I looked at the pictures myself in the packet, I thought, oh, my God, it is a giant box. It is a box. Number one, it's terrible. It does not look good. And interestingly enough, the Design Control Board of Marina Del Rey, which is a group that is supposed to give their blessing, withheld their blessing, is my understanding. And then the Board of Supervisors and Beaches and Harbors. So I'm very concerned about the co-application idea of Beaches and Harbors and the applicant, because it really feels that they're teaming up against what has been consistent outcry. I'm sympathetic to Fantasy Yachts. I don't speak for them. I don't know them. I do know that Mr. Van Wert is a lobbyist. He said he's a representative, but he has been lobbying and taking money from that group. So when he's partnering up with Beaches and Harbors, it puts the county residents who really focus on retaining what's special about Marina Del Rey. We try and have been heard from repeatedly over these issues and other issues that are very similar. And so I asked the California Coastal Commission to do what they are charged with, which is step forward and put this to rest. It is not in the interest of the residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce? Russell?
I think I did hear my name this time.
That's good. Welcome.
Honorable Commissioners, Bruce Russell, the former chairperson of the county-appointed Marina Design Control Board, had words for this project. Chairperson Susan Cloak called it a betrayal of public interest, and her board voted it down. The county had its own way of rectifying the situation. It fired the Design Control Board, stripped it of its review powers, and Mrs. Cloak subsequently resigned. The county went right on permitting this monstrosity at a higher level. This planned boat-stacking tower will loom over the entrance to the nature panorama of the Bellona wetlands. People coming from the airport are going to see it sticking up above everything there and destroying the appearance of the entrance to Los Angeles. It is a part of the county's plan to convert all the boat yards along Admiralty Way into shops, and more shops. These boat and car stacking towers look very pretty when our architects do their designs, but when they're actually put up, they look horrible. All you have to do is go to Santa Monica and see the monstrosity at the corner of Broad Street and 4th Street, and that's a car stacking thing, and it is instant urban blight. Another aspect of this proposed boat central is that it sticks out 100 feet over the marina waters. So I thought that was a no-no. We appeal to you, commissioners, ladies and gentlemen, to have the courage, the dedication to the public interest of Mrs. Cloak, and vote this project down.
Thank you. John Nahas and then Andy Bissett. And, John, you'll have how much time would you like? You've got 6 minutes. You'll be able to make that work?
Can we do 15 if we have – I had several people that actually emailed you and couldn't, unfortunately, be here today. I have a couple people that, as you requested, were able to show up today. Right. We'd like to give the organized opposition to the proponents today.
I'll give you 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
See what we can do. Okay.
Thank you. Commissioners, good morning. My name is John Nass. I'm with the Boating Coalition. This project has certainly seen its problems through the public process, or what we know in Marina as the public process, which is very different from what most people know of public process. But we're not going to talk about that today. We'll just discuss the Boat Central project. It is a valet boat launching service proposed in the marina. Now, the first question that most people ask about this project is, who's going to be able to use it? The problem is, when you ask that question, is the county never asked. In other words, the county never did a focus group. The county never went out and asked the boaters, never brought them in to have a discussion and saying, hey, we're going to create this valet boating service. Would you guys use it? So it's very interesting. We don't know who's going to be able to afford it and who's going to use it. Second question is, how will the reservation system work? So you call ahead 20 minutes and you want your boat launched. And on a day like July 4th or a heavy boating day, how is it going to work to where you can get to your boat? And if it takes Each one of those launches, 10 minutes, they say 6 to 10 minutes. Well, let's just say it's 10 minutes to launch one boat. By the time you get to your boat and you're sitting in the boater's lounge, is it really going to be in your best interest to really want to have your boat in this facility? And, of course, the last one is, what will be included in the valet service? How's the valet going to work? So you park your car, you have a valet out there to park your car, then you go to the boater's lounge, and then if you want Grey Poupon or whatever to get go in your boat or a bottle of wine, how is that going to get there? So we still don't know this process. There's a lot of uncertainty. Of course, what this Coastal Commission has dealt with and what the county has dealt with over time is a huge loss of affordable boating. In 2011, this commission authorized the county to decimate our small craft boating and our slips. We lost 1,300 slips, more than any other harbor in California. And it's just incredible how much we've lost in affordable boating in Marina del Rey alone. The impacts of this facility on the public launch ramp. Now, we have 7 lanes for a public launch ramp. It's one of the bigger launch ramps that you'd see in the state of California. This is going to severely impact it, and we're going to show you in how that's going to work. How would this affect the current uses on the parcel? Now, the current uses on the parcel are very interesting. We have the Marvin Broad bike path, which runs 22 miles up and down the coast, and it is a fantastic asset. And this is the only free parking in Marina del Rey, in fact, Los Angeles, to where residents can come, their families can park in this parking lot, get on their bikes, and traverse up and down the bike path. It's incredible. Or get on their blades or, you know, just walk up and down the coast. So what you're being asked to actually replace here is critical. So these are the major concerns. Public safety is an issue. It's not going to be affordable. It takes away the free parking, the only free parking for boaters, bike, and the bike path. Building over the water does set a precedent regardless of what has been said here, and it degrades water quality. The safety concerns. Heavy launching in the area of H Basin. We cannot have all of our boats launching in one area. Boating traffic has not been analyzed by the appropriate agencies. In other words, Los Angeles County hasn't analyzed it, and we believe that even in this EIR, it really hasn't been logistically put together. And you'll see that in some of these other slides, is that when you have so much launching come from the launch ramp, and then we have mast-up storage, all of this launching, we don't know, when all these boats go out into the bay and they're all coming back, how is this going to work, especially on a heavy boating day? That hasn't been analyzed. Sorry about that. Okay, here are the safety issues. As you can see, one of the slides that Roger put up really didn't depict the 97 feet. So as you see on the top right-hand corner, that is our public launch ramp. You see where the families are going to be coming and launching their boats, and then you see the long extension of how Boat Central is going to come out into that launching right off the launch ramp. It's incredible. And then if you see down below, the safety impacts here are really critical, and the Coast Guard has not seen this project. Your former sister agency, the Department of Boating and Waterways, has not seen this. So it becomes really odd that the two safety agencies that really should be looking at this project, for some reason, it didn't get in front of them, and it's not on anybody's desk. And we ask that, you know, there really should be engineers and people that have the tools to look at these projects weigh in prior to your approval. The construction costs and the maintenance costs are unknown. It's not in the staff report. We have never seen it. And we think that there's a reason for that. We don't know how much this thing is going to cost, and we certainly don't know how much it's going to take to maintain. We know that technology is far advanced, but technology breaks down. What happens when that one crane breaks down? It's a state-of-the-art facility that has comparables for market forces and market prices. Now, dry stack storage is nothing new. There is a facility down at Newport Beach. They charge $25 a foot, but they're using forklifts to go and retrieve the boats. This is a state-of-the-art facility that doesn't use forklifts. It has a special hydraulic lift, and we're thinking it's going to be more of the 30 to 35-foot range, which is completely unaffordable. Now, Peter Douglas, we're going to try to work some technology here, Billy and I, a former executive director, weighed in on what your responsibilities are as far as affordability. Rents, Billy? Just rents, WDMV? There it is.
Within the purview of the Coastal Commission. That's local government's authority and jurisdiction. Setting rents and rent control is not within the purview of the Coastal Commission. That's local government's authority and jurisdiction.
Okay. So what Peter told this commission is that you guys do not have the ability to control rents. You can't do rent control. But what you do have the ability in the next video is going to be coming up. Yeah. Facilities. What Peter says is that although you don't have the ability for price control,
but you deal with affordability in a number of ways. Recreational resources, overnight accommodations, by the kind of facilities that are built and provided.
Okay, so you don't have the ability to enforce rent control. It's the kind of facilities. And Peter was obviously talking about this project. He knew it was coming up. This is a facility that is just outrageously expensive. And on a coastal zone, for the coastal use, for access, this completely is precluding that from happening. And the next one, let's go to Stone, stone.dmv. I'm sorry, that WMV.
I'm not too worried about this dry stack storage. Probably some people will like that. And hearing the Commodore talk about what they've done in Florida and some of the other possibilities, that sounds intriguing. I think the technology and some of the other possibilities are kind of really cool to think. But if you start looking at, if I'm going to order my boat and it's going to be washed and it's going to be fueled and it's going to be provisioned, now the cost to me is significant. And that's not, if we're creating a situation where we're driving up, or the plan is driving up the cost of boating, which is expensive enough already, we're now closing the door to a lot of probably current boaters and certainly future boaters who wouldn't be able to afford that.
Okay, so all of you know that former Commissioner Vice Chair Stone worked on this commission, is now a state legislator. Very familiar with boating. He said it's absolutely not affordable, saying that the cost of boating will certainly go up with this. If we can go back to, and let's do luxury while you're at it, or we'll just do all these videos and then go back to the PowerPoint.
You wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury
sheets. Can we start over again?
Get in your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury.
This is just a little something that
you wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury sheets. You get into your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury suit and your luxury watch. You grab your luxury coffee from your luxury coffee maker and add some luxury sugar. You step out of your luxury house and step into your luxury car, which makes everything else seem ordinary.
Okay. And that's what it is. That's what it's luxury here. To call up and order your boat and to put it on the water within 20 minutes, to put a bottle of wine, to put grape upon. We're just talking luxury here, folks, okay? And we can't afford luxury in Marina Del Rey any longer. Our boats have been taken. Our boat slips have been taken away. Everything has gone up and up. We're putting in these massive boats now. And the small boater is just getting pushed out. And it's not just Commissioner Stone. There are a lot of boats, boat enthusiasts that have served on this commission that have said the very same thing. We cannot keep on pushing out the boats. Our parking lots have just been decimated by more residential use, non-water dependent use. And so let's, okay, so the logistics and the maneuver. Unfortunately, I don't think you can see the maneuver here, so I'll try to show you. in the upper right-hand corner, we're calling this the maneuver because the developer wants us to see that a family coming in and launching their boat is going to have to go forward and then do a 200-degree back turn to avoid Boat Central coming out, the 97 feet. Now, I can tell you for 40 years of experience, that is going to be a very difficult maneuver. And again, rather than waiting on the Coast Guard to say, no, that's not going to happen, or Boating and Waterways to finally chime in and say, this is not a good safety idea, we would like this commission to take some courage here and say, no. No, the boat, a family driving from Downey, you know, coming in and trying to launch your boat and trying to avoid this thing is just not going to work. So we also have heavy launching. What you don't see on this particular graphic is that the county's also contemplating launching kayaks coming out of Burton Chase Park into H Basin. So not only do we have the boat launch ramp, we have the mast up storage, now we have Boat Central or proposed Boat Central, and we've got kayaks all launching at the same time within 150 feet of water. Let me sum up here. Boat Central violates many statutes in the Coastal Act. A few examples, Section 30210, access recreational opportunities. Section 30211, development not to interfere with access. Section 30212, new development projects. Section 30213, lower cost visitor and recreational facilities. I can go on and on and on. There's so many different statutes of the Coastal Act, which this boating facility, this valet, you know, wonderment, luxurious facility violates. It cannot happen in the coastal zone. Please, let's get rid of this. Let's deny this today. Send it back and wait for the technology to where it does become affordable. Thank you.
Andy Bissett, Tim Riley, and then John Sagasta.
Good morning. My name is Andy Bissett. I'm president of the Marina Boat Owners Association. They are individually responsible for Marina Del Rey alone losing nearly 2,000 boat slips since it was built. They facilitate their wealthy friends having new businesses on the water before watching out for the access for the public to the water. The proposed dry stack storage must have been conceived by a bunch of accountants who've never familiarized themselves with boats. How dangerous it is placing such a useless business right in front of our boat launch ramp. And I want you to think, when you rubber stamp your approval on yet another project for your favored connected friends to have their new business on the water, I want you to look inside yourself and ask yourself, how much integrity have I exhibited here? They are the California Coastal Commission.
Thank you. Tim?
Honorable Commissioners, Tim Riley, Executive Director of Marina Del Rey Lessees Association. We submitted a letter to the commission the other day, which I believe you have in front of you. Just to be on the record here, I did notice one typo in our letter. We referred to the Regional Planning Commission approval as having happened on April 23rd, when it was actually April 24th, 2013. I'm going to say that our basic issue today is protection of the visitor-serving uses in the marina. Our leaseholders in the marina are very committed to enhancing visitor-serving uses and creating more. And currently, tens of thousands of people per year use Dock 52 to access the charter boat operations and enjoy the marina, which I know you want to preserve. So our basic thing today is to request that you adopt findings number 3 and 42 and condition 36 that were in the Regional Planning Commission approval of April 24, 2013, and that will ensure that the relocation of these uses occur prior to the demolition of Dock 52, and this is important to preserve the visitor-serving uses in the marina. I know this may be somewhat redundant from what's already been said, and that I've been assured that these conditions will be followed, but I feel it would be best if you'd put it in the language into your recommendation, because I notice on page 2 of your staff report, it says, well, the proposed waterside improvements have the potential to impact public access. And then it goes on to say these impacts are mitigated by the provision of the dry storage, but we think we need to add in this mitigation as well of the conditions and the findings were adopted by the County of Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you. John? No, John. Okay, Marcia Hanscom, John Davis, and then Nancy Vernon Marino.
Honorable Commissioners, Marcia Hanscom, Biona Institute. You know, whether there's a dry stack storage facility somewhere in the marina is a question. Maybe it would be a good idea. This one is a big question, and particularly this location is the wrong location. It's the absolutely worst place you could put it. It is right on the edge of the Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve, which the state of California paid $140 million for. Having a free parking lot there would be a good idea, and it's already there. We took many state officials on tours of this area before the state spent $140 million, and that's where we met them all, because it's a free parking lot. So I'd like to remind you of three very important parts of the law that you're required to uphold. One is Section 30213 on page 15 of your staff report. Lower cost visitor and recreational facilities shall be protected. Lower cost, free. They're talking about giving parking elsewhere, but it's silent on whether or not it is going to be free. Secondly, Section 302.11, development shall not interfere with the public's right of access to the sea where acquired through use. Right now, if you drive up, park in the free parking lot, you can walk right to the water, and you can see all the fish and the birds and all of the wildlife there, and people do that. You're going to impede that right to access the sea right there if this is approved. Thirdly, Section 302.40B, when a project is next to an environmentally sensitive habitat area, it shall be designed to prevent impacts, which would change the character. It shall be comparable with continuing the current use. So please pay attention to those sections and do not approve this. Thank you.
Thank you. John Davis and Nancy Marino. No, John.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Nancy Vernon Marino, and I will just support everything everyone else has said without reiterating any of it, but please know that that is also part of my commentary. I would like to point out that the addendum suggests that the applicant is evidently a brand new entity. However, to my knowledge, there have not been any public hearings about this change of ownership of this leasehold or the leasehold option. I think that's probably a breach. The new entity is a limited partnership, which means that the financial resources of most of the people involved are not available, even though they might look good on paper. Their resources are only limited, you know, that's what a limited partnership is, just to the capital that they invest. So if this project goes belly up, the county's left holding the bag, meaning us taxpayers. I have no problem with rich people boating. None at all. I do have a problem with only rich people boating. Marina Del Rey is for all the boaters of L.A. County. The last time the county provided any data on the L.A. County boating community was in the 1996 LCP. It was absent from the 2011 LCP that you approved. They just made a lot of claims that are, as far as we know, baseless, because it just surveyed existing boaters in the marina and extrapolated from there. We would like to see you ask the county to do such a survey to determine what are the boating needs of LA County boating community, and then provide a facility that addresses those needs without diminishing the boating experience for the existing public launch ramp users or the paddle boarders or kayakers. And also, I had one more thought and it just escaped me. Also, not concentrating the use in one facility that is clearly a storage facility and not an active recreational boating facility. So please keep in mind that distinction. Thank you.
Thank you. So now it's opportunity for rebuttal by Roger and others.
Since you didn't give him those extra minutes over the 12, I'm going to take 30 seconds if I can.
Did you fill out a speaker card?
Yes. I have a chip that's filled out in there.
No, I think that...
Sir, did you cede your time earlier?
Okay, I'll take your. You can have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. What wasn't said is that this facility is the single largest curtailment of public access in the marina since the marina was built, and no one has really spoken to the need for it. If you take a look at the existing off the water storage, the mast up storage lot and the lot directly across the other side of that basin. The mast up storage lot has about a 14% vacancy, and another 10 to 15% of the boats in there are derelicts that the county now owns because people haven't paid. Across the way, they're just starting to get some boats in there now, but over 50% of that lot is taken up with just storing those large, I don't want to call them kayaks, but shells, I guess you call them. There just isn't the need for more of this type of storage, especially at the cost that this is going to use. I mean, they can't even fill up the current lots that they have.
Thank you. Okay. This will be opportunity for Los Angeles County and others to come up. Please, welcome. You have 9 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Anita Gutierrez from the Department of Regional Planning, Los Angeles County. And I just wanted to comment on the regulatory side. When the Planning Commission heard this project in April 2013, we did take great care in addressing the concerns raised by the charter and cruise boat operators, and specifically added Condition 36, which has been referenced here several times. And that condition specifically says that the physical improvements for Dock 55 must be in place prior to any displacement or any demolition, in fact, of Dock 52. And that verification would be in writing from Department of Beaches and Harbors to ensure that those facilities were operational as well as functional. In addition, the condition also states that the public parking for parcel 55 and lots 55 and W should be accessible, publicly accessible to those uses as well. And with those, the commission, as previously stated, approved that project addressing those particular concerns. And I think Beaches and Harbors can further speak to the parcel Dock 55.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Michael Tripp, and I work for the County Department of Beaches and Harbors. Thank you for hearing us today. I would just like to reiterate what Ms. Gutierrez said. We already do have a condition that Dock 55 will be rebuilt before anything happens to Dock 52. Our Regional Planning Commission did approve that. And furthermore, a contract has already been put out by the county to rebuild Dock 55. That dock will be built before anything happens at Parcel 52. I did look at the suggested condition from Mr. Casey, and I find it a little general and open to interpretation. And also, there is a line in this condition that says, the elimination of Dock 52 will not commence until those existing boating uses are relocated to and become operational at Dock 55. The county, we can build a dock. We can provide parking. We can't force an operator to become operational. We can give them everything they need, but I think this relies too much on outside forces. If you do feel the need to give another condition in addition to what the county has, I would suggest you adopt our exact condition, which your staff has. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roger Van Wert for the applicant. Just a couple of points.
Could you pull the microphone down, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points. It was stated that that there was no analysis of potential congestion in Basin H. It was studied extensively. It's part of the EIR, and the analysis is there for your review. I think the bottom line of the analysis, to put it as simply as I can, is that at peak periods like 4th of July or whatever, you're going to have one boat entering and one boat exiting the basin every 2 minutes. And it's a 200-foot wide waterway, so it doesn't represent the potential that was articulated. So I think that's all I want to say, unless the commission has questions that they want us to address. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Bring it back then to the staff and close the public hearing. Jack?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First up, in our view, this project is fully consistent with the LCP amendment that was approved back in 2011-2012. This is what was envisioned for this site. This was a critical part of that mix of boat slips to provide a smaller number to address the loss of smaller boat slips in wet slips in the marina in this dry stack storage facility. We think it's a critical part of that overall strategy to deal with providing a good mix of boat slips throughout the harbor. With regard to circulation in the area, Mr. Van Wert has addressed that. That was addressed in the EIR. The Coast Guard and Boating and Waterways do not have permit authority over this facility, and it is the responsibility of the county to do that analysis and ours as well. With regard to the cost, we can't with the how much these boat slips will be rented out for. The applicant and the county has indicated that they will be either equivalent to or cheaper than a wet slip. So the LCP amendment also included a number of low-cost boating opportunities, as you recall. It was enhanced non-motorized boating opportunities throughout the harbor, also in-lieu fees required to serve underserved youth groups to introduce them to boating. And so those were some of the ways that lower cost boating opportunities were mitigated here. So with that, with regard to the fantasy yachts and charter group, we did not feel it was necessary to include a condition to require that, as the county permit had that condition to require the improvement of a lot to Dock 55 prior to demolition construction of this facility. We can certainly include that as part of our recommendation if the commission feels it necessary, and we have any problem with that. In fact, we will incorporate that. I'll just make that clear right now. So with that concludes
Thank you.
My comment.
Okay, bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Mitchell, then Commissioner Zimmer.
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 5-14-0770, subject to the conditions set forth in the staff report and the addendum.
Okay. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, please. So I was on the commission when we did this in 2011, past the LCP, and you know, I know that low cost boating was a big concern and mitigation for that. I, you know, seem to recall that this was a way actually to address that as well, because the wet slips, the price was prohibitive, and there was vacancies, a lot of vacancies in the smaller slips, and that this was a way to address that there would be dry storage, smaller boats, and so that people would actually be able to access the to water at that point and address that. So that's why I'm supporting this motion. You know, I think it's kind of an ugly box, but I'm not sure how you make a boat valet pretty. So ask your eye vote.
Thank you. To your second.
Thank you. I, too, was present at that meeting. It was maybe one of our first together. I agree that we considered this, and I believe there is considerable objection to this component by members of the public. I don't remember. I think we probably looked at that question specifically of would there be a better, different site for dry storage in relation to the proximity to the Bayona property.
Yes, that's correct. That was analyzed, and this was determined to be the the preferred alternative in this for the storage facility.
And then the other question that I had, and by the way, I very much appreciate your willingness to include that county condition. I think it is important to have it. The other question I had, though, was in relation to the folks that are using that ramp now, the public launch, where do they park their boat and trailer currently? And is this parking lot that's being eliminated going to impair their ability to park?
No. There's a large 400 space parking lot right landward of that boating launch facility. So that will be maintained.
Okay. And I guess I was surprised to hear that these things don't get reviewed by the Department of Boating and Waterways. I thought that there was, in some of our prior discussions, there are issues about complying with their standards for width of fairways and so forth. How does that get incorporated?
Yeah, the Department of Boating and Waterways has guidelines with regard to the size of fairways and things like that. And it relates back to their mission as they primarily issue grants to local governments and for boating and facilities and things like that to comply with those standards. I don't think they have specific standards with regard to dry stack storage facilities. I'm not aware of those standards. But there was an analysis done here by a expert boating group firm that analyzed the circulation from the dry stack storage in relation to the boat launch.
Okay. So that was specifically addressed in the EIR that the county did?
Yes.
Okay. And then the last question pertains to this being a relatively new concept for implementation here. What if this project is constructed and then it's found to be not economically workable, not marketable? What is there any provision for what would happen to that structure if it were vacated?
I'd probably defer to the county with regard to the operational thing, but these are other parts of the country use this technology, so it's not like it's unproven. I mean,
All right. Well, thank you.
Where do they use this technology?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm not answering your question.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I support the project.
Commissioner Pastore.
Yeah, just a quick question because I noticed, and this may require somebody from the county to come up. Where he was talking about the flow of on busy times like the 4th of July, there might be every 2 minutes where you would have boats going by. And I think, as most boaters know, you don't have this average throughout the day. It's like highways and streets, in the city, for example. It's if you're towards the end of the day, all these boats are going to be coming in pretty close to the same time. So if you're in a concentrated area like Basin H and you have a system with this dry stack that only operates every, say, 10 minutes or something like that, and you have boats coming in every 2 minutes, and some of those are going to be at a ramp, and they start stacking up because it's towards the end of the day. How are you going to address that type of congestion in Basin H where you have all these boats coming in at the same time or if there's a storm that comes in or something like that? I was just kind of curious on how that would work.
And please state your name for the record again.
My name is Roger Van Wert, and I represent Boat Central. That is the purpose of the queuing docks. We can store, say, 50, 60 boats at the queuing dock. So if let's say in an afternoon 30 or 40 boats showed up, we would store them on our queuing docks and then retrieve them over time back into the facility. And it wouldn't represent additional congestion at the end of the basin relative to the launch ramp, because our docks would be where they would park their park or tie up and be out of the way of the Basin H main channel. So that's how we address volume question there. Is that clear? Was I clear enough?
Yes, but and how does that affect the other boaters that need to get over to the ramp as they're going through that basin where you have these boats coming in, even if you have it for 30 or 50 boats? It seems that if you've got that narrow channel, but you're decreasing the areas where people can have their trailers for their boats, and that's all kind of stacking up, just seems like it's going to be an over-concentration of folks coming in at the same time.
Okay. The launch ramp has its own capacity. Our job is to make sure we don't encroach on that capacity. So the main channel in Basin H is approximately 200 feet wide, so it can accommodate that's about 3 to 4 lanes of boats if it was a congested period. But what the Regional Planning Commission did was require a specific separation between the boat launch ramp southernmost dock and our facility, and that distance was 74 feet. A lane in the main channel for boats for exiting or entering would be 50 feet. So this is one and a half times larger than a lane that you would consider in the main channel. So there is more than adequate separation for people coming down the channel to access the launch ramp. That was obviously a key concern of the county, and that's why they set the specific condition to make sure that the spacing was appropriate.
Okay. Are you concluded then? Yes, thank you. Mr. Van Wert, I'm going to ask you one question, and then I think we can take action if you can come forward here. One of the speakers made a comment about a particularly difficult 270-degree maneuver that would be required. Can you respond to that?
Well, that condition exists today. The sheriff's docks are there. And if you're you're on the south side of the southerlymost finger, you have to rotate around. And so what we made sure is that we didn't encroach on that space to allow you to take a motorboat and rotate it around. Frankly, what I would do if I had most launches at the dock do have motors, and I'd back up and go around. But we don't encroach on that space more than it exists today, and that's primarily from the sheriff's dock.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Seeing none, at this point, the maker of the motion, the second, are asking for a yes vote. Is there any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Excuse me. Commissioner Turnbull-Sanders, excuse me.
Chair Kinsey, I'll be abstaining from this as I entered the hearing late.
Okay. Then thank you for that. And
I just prefer to be a not voting on this matter.
To be a no or not voting? Abstaining? Okay, so we have an abstention from Commissioner Pestor and from Commissioner Turnbull-Sanders to the balance of the commission. Any unwillingness for a unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, then we approve the project application. And that moves us along to our final item before going on the field trip, which is our future agenda items. Commissioner McClure?
Yes, thank you. On Wednesday, we spoke about the possibility of having a discussion in relationship to legislative items in relationship to the Coastal Act. And so I would like, in a timely manner, that be put on the agenda probably next month if we really want to talk about where we could see improvements with the Coastal Act, or where we could see improvements that we would like our legislators to carry forward. Because if that discussion doesn't happen as a group, I find it awkward if we're going to just do one-on-one discussion with the director. So I would like that to be on the agenda for discussion only, as far as what are the possibilities and what's the direction of the commission.
Yeah, Executive Director Lester.
Thank you, Commissioner McClure. As I said yesterday, I believe I needed to speak with Sarah Christie about that as an option for what kind of discussion, if any, might be structured, what sort of staff work would be entailed to frame that discussion. It's a little unclear to me whether that just be an open-ended
I think it would be an open-ended discussion, and I also think that the commission is quite capable of being able to enter into a discussion. If Sarah wants to join us, that would be wonderful, but I think that we need to be able to have that kind of public discussion.
All right. I will take it under consideration. Thank you.
Okay. Any other items? All right. Then we are going to adjourn as a no, there is no – we had our public comment this morning on this agenda item for future. Sure. Had you submitted a card?
Is there a card?
No, there is.
Claremont, which is my real name.
For item number 14?
For item number 14.
We'll give you 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. I was going to follow up on that one because that was my first one, opening process for greater public input, not engaged in the game of us versus them. It's been very wonderful coming back to a part of my past life here in Los Angeles because I've gotten a lot of phone calls, who is Nikki? So that's my new life. And so I'm coming back here to a very familiar place. And definitely that should be on your agenda for the next one. Thank you for mentioning that, Commissioner. The other one that I would ask you, I put it on for this area of your coast, is Fukushima. What are we doing with what's coming at us? What are we looking at? And perhaps enlarging the commission's empowerment to take on where other agencies have declined to take the bull by the horns and protect our coasts. I think we have some very great minds up there that can undertake that and introduce that. The state and the First Nation allies would be very happy to bring real nuclear waste confidence to the citizens of California. And perhaps we can create a model for our entire planet. Thank you, and let's have fun this afternoon.
Mr. Chair, yes. Just for the benefit of the speaker, I would direct you to our May 2014 agenda where we did have a report on the Fukushima incident and potential impacts to California's coastal resources. So, okay.
Okay. Thank you. That completes the public portion with the exception of the field trip that we're going to go on. And thank you all for participating. And we'll see you in Pismo Beach next month. We have the